for Kōrero with Karen. Welcome to A Chat with Karen. I extend a gracious invite to all my listeners from near and far, all my listeners, all cultures, all races, of all colours, of all demographics. All of you, please come listen. I have some news for you. So tēnā koutou to all. Tēnā koutou katoa. So today we're going to be talking about the Israeli and Palestinian conflict. I thought I'd give you a bit of info on that one. Well worth knowing. So I've learned a lot from this research actually, so I'm pretty sure you guys will too. We are going to start off with a song first. The song is called Let It Go. I actually played it at the end of my last show, but we ran out of time, so you didn't get to hear the song in its entirety. So I am going to play it again for you, this time at the beginning. Enjoy.
We'll be right back.
So that was DJ Khaled featuring Justin Bieber and 21 Savage, Let It Go. Do hope you enjoyed that. It's a pretty funky number, isn't it? So let's get on to a more serious topic. We have to have something serious in the show. So this is it today. And it's all about the deal with Israel and Palestine. It's been hitting my Twitter timeline quite a bit, and you may have noticed it on the news. There's been this year a heightened conflict between the two, with rockets and grenades and gunfire and all the rest, but mainly seems to be launcher rocket warfare happening between the two sides, and it's been causing some heated debate on the Twitter hotline. So I thought, well, you know what, let's delve into that. And I'm actually myself a Messianic Jewish, I'm a part of a Messianic Jewish congregation, which is basically Jews that believe in the Messiah or Jesus Christ. So there, with the rabbi being an Israeli, well, he's a New Zealand man, born in New Zealand, but his family, he's from Israel. So they have a lot of vested interest in what's going on in the homeland there. They've got loved ones living there. And so it's quite interesting hearing his take on it. And also it makes the whole ordeal a little more real for me, having and the fact that I know people from there, those lands. So the issue of Israel and Palestine, especially when it seems that in Aotearoa, New Zealand, there seems to be quite a lot of misconception around this situation from what I've discovered in chatting with people and online forums and whatnot. Just this year, in fact, following recent conflicts in Jerusalem in which Hamas terrorists attacked Israelis with missiles, a large rally took to Queen Street in Auckland in support of Palestine. The rally even included members of parliament openly chanting anti-Semitic songs, anti-Semitic meaning anti-Jewish songs. One such chant, "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free," refers to the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea, and the chant is calling for a Palestinian state in all of Israel. In other words, it does not see a future where Israel exists at all. And such behaviour is hateful and misleading, and they're doing this down Queen Street, Auckland. So that was one of the reasons that I decided, you know what, I'm actually going to give our people some of the facts regarding the situation in Israel. And I'm not going to be all pro-Israel, although I guess you kind of would guess what my stance is. I'm not for Israel, I'm with Israel. There's a difference. So anyway, but yeah, there is a lot of misconception and I just felt it need to be clarified. So here we go. So though both Jews and Arab Muslims date their claims to the land back a couple of thousand years, the current political conflict that we see and hear about began actually in the early 20th century. Jews fleeing persecution in Europe wanted to establish a national homeland in what was then an Arab and Muslim majority territory in the Ottoman and then later British Empire. The Arabs resisted, seeing the land as rightfully theirs. An early United Nations plan to give each group part of the land failed, and Israel and the surrounding Arab nations fought several wars over the territory. Today's lines largely reflect the outcomes of two of these wars, one waged in 1948 and another in 1967. The 1967 war is particularly important for today's conflict as it left Israel in control of the West Bank and Gaza Strip, two territories home to large Palestinian populations. So that's just a little bit of a background there. And, yeah, worth knowing. So, and knowing this information, I have some questions, as do, I suspect, a number of my listeners would. So the first big question is, so is Israel, it's a pretty obvious question, so is Israel actually occupying Palestine? And the answer I discovered to be was no, it isn't. And the reason being is because there is not currently a Palestinian state. Israel gained the territory of the West Bank, formerly known as Judea and Samaria, in a defensive war. International law says that you can't be occupying a nation if you gain territory in a defensive war. There has also never been a country called Palestine. However, Israel has offered to leave the area known as the West Bank so that the Palestinians can have their own state. But the Palestinian leadership has always refused any peace offer. My next question is, so is Israel a colonialist state? No, is the answer to that. Jews have always lived in Israel, even when there wasn't an allocated Jewish state. The Jews have been there for over 3,000 years, meaning they are indigenous to these parts of the Middle East. Question number three, are there millions of Palestinian refugees as a result of the Israelis moving back into their homelands? And the answer to that is no. This number that is being slandered about, that there's millions of Palestinians out there, refugee status, whatnot. Okay, this number is actually based on and includes children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. The original 750,000 people who were displaced during the Arab-Israel War of 1948. That's the official number of Palestinian refugees. The reason why they cannot live in Israel is because they have never actually lived in Israel and are actually citizens of other countries. Question number four. Does Israel treat Arabs differently to Jews? And the answer to that, again, is no. All Israeli citizens have full rights regardless of race, religion, or ethnicity. Arabs who are citizens in Israel have equal access to education, health, the justice system, and they can vote. They are doctors, nurses, lawyers, and they serve in the army, police force, and some of them are even judges in the Supreme Courts. They are also members of parliament, and until recently, they were actually the third largest party in the Israeli parliament. So I have three more questions I wanted to go through with you, but I feel like it's been about heading up to the 9-minute mark, so I really want to break things up with a bit of music. And this song is from an Israeli DJ, actually. I wanted to try and keep the music relevant. And he's quite a famous one too, and his name is Vinny Vici. And the song playing is called Edhana. You've just been listening to Vinny Vici, and that song was called Anahana. Sorry, I don't think I'm pronouncing that right. Adhana. I apologise, Vinny, if I'm saying it wrong. Yeah, it's a banger, isn't it, that one? Really enjoyed that. Okay, so we're going to come back to our Israeli-Palestine chat. And I was up to the next question in my discussion, which someone asked, and they actually said, why has there been no peace in the Gaza Strip? And this is how I'm going to answer it. So the Arabs have actually been offered a state multiple times and have always refused. In fact, even despite the fact some Jews want to live in the West Bank or Judea and Samaria, as it is known in Judaism, many believe that for the sake of peace, the land should be given to Palestinians for a homeland. Why is it we never hear of that story? It took me doing a little bit of research and talking to some Israeli people to actually get that. I don't know, maybe I just haven't been paying attention in the news. Let me know if I haven't. I'm fine if you can tell me that. That's, yeah, I can deal. So the land, Israel, contains many places of big biblical significance as well as ancestral Jewish burial places. Yet they are prepared to sacrifice this as part of a peace deal. Such offers have taken place in 1937, 1939, 1947 and 1967 to the Arab nations, and then in 2000 and again in 2008 to the Palestinians. And each time, Israel's offer has been rejected, and to this day the Palestinian leaders refuse to negotiate with Israel. So to answer the question, why is there no peace between them? I would say that's a pretty concise answer there. Please, by all means, do flick me a message if I stand corrected, or if there's something I've missed or don't know. But that's, yeah, that's what I know on that. Someone asks, so what's happening in Sheikh Jarrah? What's that about? Well, what that's about is there's a property located in Sheikh Jarrah, which is owned by Jewish people, and it was rented to Palestinians. So these tenants refused to pay rent, and so the owners took them to court to get them evicted. Now, this has become a huge legal dispute in the media, and it's actually about property. And it is actually being used to justify Hamas violence. So, yeah, that's Sheikh Jarrah. Now, another question, why has Israel built a security wall? Well, Israel built a security wall to protect its citizens, which, by the way, includes Jews, Muslims, Christians, and Arab Palestinian, and it protects them from Arab Palestinian suicide bombers who were coming from the West Bank into population centres. You may also hear it being called the separation wall, and this is because those against Israel are trying to say it was built to cut off Palestinians, and this is simply not the case. No one wants the wall, but it is purely a necessity to save lives. I'm going to leave you with a powerful segment from a show called Greenleaf. It's on Netflix, and it's a show about a powerful Christian family in America that run a church called Calvary. Anyway, check it out. I think it was quite good, but I wanted you to listen to this speech, and I think it would be a really great way to end this segment of the show, because I really think it's time that these nations move forward together, and we all actually move forward together. So check this out, listen to this, some great words to finish the segment.
I'm asking them, show me forgiveness where there can be none. Redemption when it's far too late. The waters where the wells long Chicago ran dry. Acceptance. Where there is hate. Lord God, I want you to show me what I can't explain. I want you to make me what I can't become. And torment my tongue in the fire of your unendurable light. That I can groan to you, Jesus. And I can groan to you. Yes, Lord God, and I can say, please, please. Make me new.
Well, guys, that brings us to the end of today's show. I do hope you've enjoyed listening and learned something. I most certainly have from carrying out the research. It's been most interesting, as it always is. And, you know, it's my intent that you at least take away one or two things from my shows. As much as it's been a pleasure having you guys listening, it's been a pleasure putting it together. So yeah, thank you for the support this year, really appreciate it. And also I really do wish you a wonderful Christmas, a safe and happy Christmas. Get some rest, get some R&R, and yeah, I love you all. So take care out there, guys, and we'll see you in 2022. Ka kite.
You have been listening to Kōrero with Karen. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to tune in to Planet FM at 104.6 every fourth Wednesday at 10 past 2 in the afternoon. Or check it out anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/Kōrero with Karen. That's Karen with a Y. Ka kite anō e hoa.